بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل وسلم
وبارك على آل الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في العظيم. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوان الأنصار. Alhamdulillah, we are starting our third session on Al-Bab al-Hadi Ashar. As you remember, we were discussing the arguments for the necessity of ma'rifah and necessity of looking into the reasons and evidence for existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his qualities, for his actions. So last week we said that there are intellectual or rational arguments, and there are scripture based or transmitted, or what we call in Arabic sam'i or naqli arguments. So we have rational arguments, aqli, or intellectual arguments, aqli, and sam'i or naqli, which are scripture based, which are transmitted to us. We already mentioned intellectual arguments. There were two. One was rational necessity of protecting yourself against the fear which is caused when you see controversies, when there are differences of opinions, you are worried. Maybe this party is right, maybe that party is right. What should be my position? So reason says that you should try to discover the truth by yourself. The second rational argument was the necessity of being thankful and grateful to someone who may have blessed you, someone who has given you bounties. Shukrul mun'amir wajibun aqlan. To be thankful to someone who has given you his blessing, has had favor upon you, is rationally necessary. You don't need to learn it from Quran or Hadith. Yeah? Your aql says, wujubu shukr al-mun'im. So, we have many, many things. One possibility is that these are the things that we have them by chance. Some people say these are just results of chance or accident. There is other possibility that there is a very kind and merciful Lord who has given me this. If this is the case, I have to be grateful to him. I cannot say I don't want to know whether someone has blessed me or not. No. If someone has given this to you, you have to find out and thank him. So rationally, you have to inquire. Okay? So when you inquire, and then you find someone has blessed you, then you have to be thankful. If supposedly you inquire and you find out, no, there was no one there, that's another issue. We are not now talking about the result, whether God exists or doesn't exist. We are not talking about that now. That is what we talk about it later, when we talk about arguments for existence of God. What we are concerned now is that you must inquire. Okay? You cannot say, I don't want to know about religion, I don't want to know about God. You have to discover. You have to study. You have to find out the answer. What is the answer? We will talk about it later. So these are two rational arguments for showing that we must inquire about God and his existence and his attributes. There is another argument which looks like the first argument, but it's different. In some books like Theological Instructions, we had that argument. And that is وَجُوبُ دَفْعِ الذَّرَرِ الْمُحْتَمَلِ. Here we had وَجُوبُ دَفْعِ الْخَوْفِ. That one is وَجُوبُ دَفْعِ الذَّرَرِ الْمُحْتَمَلِ. If you remember, we said that there is such an argument that if God exists, and what the prophets tell us is correct, and there is hell and heaven, if I don't believe, then I would lose a lot. I may end up with going to hell. So the fact that there is possibility, there is probability of maybe there is God, maybe what the prophets say is true, maybe there is hell, maybe there is heaven, this possibility requires you rationally to protect yourself. If there is, for example, a disease, they say, you know, don't travel to that region because there is a possibility that you may be affected. You don't say, I am not 100% sure, so I go. Even if there is a risk, a possibility, you try to be careful. If, for example, there is fire alarm, you don't say, I will not move unless I am 100% sure that I will be burned. Even if there is 1% of possibility, you go out. Especially if the risk is very high. Because, you know, you have two factors. What are those two factors? When you want to measure the seriousness of the risk, you have two factors. One is the probability, the other is the probable. We had this in Theological Instructions. Yeah? Probability and the probable. Sometimes the probability is very high, and the probable is not very important. For example, there is great chance that if you go to market, you may lose one penny. You don't bother, even if the chance is a lot. Sometimes the probability is high, the probable is also high. Like going to a place in which there is disease and there is a risk of 50%, 60%, 40% of getting the disease because it's epidemic. Sometimes maybe the probability is low, but the probable is so important that you try to be cautious. For example, even if there is a little risk of being burnt by fire, you go out. Because to be burnt is such an important thing, you know, such a worrying thing, such a dangerous thing, that even if there is a little risk, you try to be cautious. Okay? When 124,000 prophets have said there is God, when billions of people believe in God, the probability goes very high. But even if the probability was low, the probable is so important. It's something that defines your eternal happiness or your eternal misery. So even if the probability was low, for example, if there was 5% chance of God being there, still you had to inquire, because the probable, muhtamal, is very important. You understand? So this is another argument that you will find in some books. وَجُوبُ دَفْعِ الذَّرَرِ الْمُحْتَمَلِ. Necessity of protecting yourself against a probable risk. this is rationally necessary. Okay, now we move on to the argument which is based on a scripture, sam'i or naqli. What was the verse in the Quran which I said refers to aql and sam'? لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير. This ayah refers to سامع and عقل. Okay. What سامعي or نقلي or transmitted or scripture based reasons we have? The first is from Quran. وأما الدليل السمعي. Page 14. The first line in commentary, which is just under the line. وَأَمَّا الدَّلِيلُ السَّمْعِي فَلِوَجْهَيْنِ. The scripture-based reason are two. There are two ways to argue based on the Quran and Hadith. Al-awwal, the first. Qawluhu ta'ala. The sayings of Allah the Almighty, God the Almighty. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Fa'lam annahu la ilaha illallah. No, be informed that there is no God but the one God, but Allah. Fa'lam. So this shows ilm is necessary. You must try to reach this ilm. Okay? Of course, this argument or the next argument is from Hadith. These are acceptable to those who believe already in the Quran. Okay? So if someone says, I don't believe in the Quran and I don't believe in the Hadith, then for such people, we only use intellectual arguments. But if there is a Muslim who says, I don't want to study aqaid, then for him, you can use this as well. Yeah? Someone says, I don't want to go to kalam lessons. You can use this argument. Yes? But if someone doesn't believe in God at all, or in the Quran at all, for him, you bring rational arguments. Okay? وَالْأَمْرُ لِلْوُجُوبِ فَعْلَمْ is amr. In أصول الفقه we say, سِيغَةُ الْأَمْرُ ظَاهِرَةٌ فِي الْوُجُوبِ. فَعْلَمْ is amr or not? It's command. It's hujjatun فِي الْوُجُوبِ. You see how these lessons help each other. Something you learn on Monday helps you on Wednesday. What you learn on Wednesday helps you on Monday. Yes? And then both help you on Friday when you listen to khutbah. You understand better. Wathani. The second argument. Lamma nazala qawluhu ta'ala. When this verse was revealed, this verse is in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 190. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِقُلِ الْأَلْبَارِ. Truly, in the creation of the skies and the earth, and alternation of the day and night, there are signs for Ulul Albab. My favorite concept. I always say we have to train Ulul Albab in our madrasa, in our school, in our hoza. Ulul Albab. Who are Ulul Albab? Literally means those who have aql. Olu means zu, those who have, possess. Lob means brain. Means people of thinking, people of thought, intellectual people, rational people. Ulul albab. Okay? Ulul albab is very important title. Okay. When this ayah was revealed, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, Rasulullah said, so this is hadith, but we want to say why Rasulullah said this, explaining this ayah, commenting on this ayah, Rasulullah said this, okay? وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ لَاكَهَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتَدَبَّرْهَا. Woe to those who turn this in their mouth. لِحْيَا is beard, but لِحْيَا, لِحَا is the plural, is the bone here. It's, you know, your jaw. So Rasulullah meant you say this with your mouth without thinking. This is not acceptable. It is used, for example, for a horse, you know, for the horse, if they put a special something from metal, yeah, in there with the rope, when they want to control the horse, for example.
Yeah, rein.
So rein. They put it inside this. So the term that they use is laka, laka, and for that they use lejam, lejam, muljam. You say Ibn Muljam. Muljam literally is the one who has that in front of his mouth. We have a hadith, al-mu'minu muljamun. It means that mu'min has control over his mouth. It's not that things easily come and go. Al-mu'minu muljamun. So, that, turning something in your mouth, this is called laka. Rasulullah said, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ لَاكَ هَا. هَا means هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ.
لَاكَ means what?
لَاكَ means to turn in your mouth, like, you know, this lojam that you put it in your mouth and...
Like you read it without...
Or, pardon?
Read it without thinking.
So the meaning is this, the interpretation. But he used a kind of term that we use for physical things, but he meant something, you know, rationally. وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ لَاكَهَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ. So woe to the people who say this ayah, recite this ayah, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتَدَبَّرْهَا, but he doesn't ponder upon the ayah. There are people that recite for you this ayah with different styles. 5 minutes back and forth, they recite ayah, but they never think about the ayah. Recitation is very good, but if it comes with thinking, okay? La kaha bayna lihyay thumma lam yatadabbarha. So, you have to think about this. What is the relevance? How this is related to our discussion? Allah says in the creation of the skies and the earth, in the alternation of day and night, there are signs. So Rasulullah says, you must think about these signs. You must reflect on these signs. You cannot say, I don't bother. So if someone who believes in Rasulullah says, I don't want to learn aqa'id, I don't want to have argument for the existence of God, this will question. Said no. You must have good understanding of aqaid. You must have good basis in your aqaid. Yes? Is it clear?
Yes.
رتب الذم على تقدير عدم تدبرها. رتب الذم. ذم, what does it mean? Blame. ذم يضم with dal dal, not with vad. Means to blame. Okay?
What does rattaba mean?
Rattaba means to make something dependent on something else. To make something rely on something else, to build something on something else. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam once saw someone who was saying bad things about dunya. And, you know, showing, for example, no interest in dunya, verbally. So Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam told him, أَيُّهَا الظَّامُ لِلْدُّنْيَا الْمَغْرُورُ بِغُرُورِهَا. Oh, the one who blames dunya, but he is deceived by the deceptions of dunya. It's easy to blame and then at the same time be attracted. Yeah, sometimes actually this is a defensive mechanism to say that I have nothing to do with dunya, you blame dunya, but you are very much attached to dunya. Yes? Like some people, some who want to marry, but they say we don't have interest in marriage. Sometimes some boys, you know, say this, but indeed they want to marry, but they say I have no interest. So أَيُّهَا الظَّامُ لِلْدُّنْيَا, oh, the one who blames, but he's not really like that. So ذَمَّ يَظُمُّ means to blame. The reason I quote some hadith or bring these things, because this is the way to remember these words. If you remember, you know, other cases in which these terms are used, your self becomes, inshallah, strong, your naf becomes strong. Yeah? So, Rasulullah رتب الذم على تقدير عدم تدبرها. Rasulullah brought blame on the condition of not pondering on these signs of Allah, on this ayah which mentions the sign. If you don't ponder on this ayah in which Allah says there are signs, you are blamed. Adam?
Yeah, sorry, Adam, sorry.
Adam etadabburha. Non-pondering. Taqdeer means on the assumption, condition. Ay. Adam al-istidlal bima tadammanathu al-ayah. You don't argue, you don't bring reasoning based on what is included in this ayah, what is mentioned in this ayah. If you are not able to use ayat of Allah in the creation of the skies and the earth, in the alternation of day and night, if you don't bring reasoning out of that, it means that you are blamed. Is it clear? أي عدم الاستدلال بما تضمنته الآية. Not to argue based on what is included, what is mentioned, what is involved in the ayah. What is in ayah? He explains himself. And ذكر الأجرام السماوية والأرضية. The physical objects in the skies means stars or earth. There are things on the earth that you can use to argue for God. There are things in the sky that you can use to argue for God.
What's
ajram? Physical. Ajram. Ajram, plural for germ, means mass, physical matter, physical body, physical object. Germ. Have you heard germ?
Yeah.
This is different from jorm. Because ajram sometimes can be plural for jorm, which means crime. But this is germ. Bema fiha. How can you argue from these stars and these objects? Bima fiha min athar sun' wal qudrah wal ilm bidhalik. These include, these involve signs, athar, signs, effects of what? Sun' creation. Qudrah, power. Ilm, knowledge. Bidhalik, knowledge about these things. How these stars could be created without power, without knowledge? Ad-dallati. These guide us to this conclusion. This indicate this. This show this. Wujud sani'iha. This show what? Existence of its creator and his power and his knowledge. فَيَكُونُ النَّظَرُ وَالْإِسْتِدْلَالُ وَاجِبًا. So, studying and arguing is necessary. Nazar, what does nazar mean here? Nazar. Nazar here doesn't mean looking. It means looking carefully at something. It means to think about it. For example, Allah says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. This doesn't mean to take a photo of camel. You say, I looked at the camel and even I have a photo of it. No, this means to think about it carefully. Okay? Insight is the result of it. But nazar means to ponder. Yes. So, there are talabe who go to Hose and they take picture of Hose. There are talabe who go to Hose, they reflect, they do mubahisa, they learn. You have to have nazar. Okay, not just say, you know, I looked at Hose, I was everywhere. I was in this hole, that hole, all the holes. I saw all the teachers, I saw all the textbooks. We don't want someone who looks at these things. We want nazar to reflect, to internalize, yes? To grasp and absorb, okay? In the same way that when you have food of body, if you have food of body, what do? You don't just look at the food and go away. You eat the food and digest the food. Yes? Okay. So now Allah has given you this banquet. Kalam, usul, aqa'id, akhlaq. Yes? Don't just look at it. Take it. Yes? Digest it. And then inshallah, you can share it with other people. So nazar means this. فَيَكُونُ النَّذَرُ وَالْإِسْتِدْلَالُ وَاجِبًا. Istidlal means reasoning. Arguing from this for the existence of God. This is wajib. So it's wajib according to the judgment of Adl. It is wajib according to the judgment of Quran. It is wajib according to Rasulullah's sunnah. وَهُوَ الْمَطْلُوبُ. This was what we wanted to prove. Okay, now let's go back to what Allama Hilli rahmatullah alayhi said. What did Allama Hilli say? Allama Hilli said, "Ajma' al-ulama." If you go back to page 12, "Ajma' al-ulama." This is Allama Hilli's word. "Ajma' al-ulama kafatan ala wujub ma'rifat Allah Taala." وصفاته الثبوتية والسلبية وما يصح عليه وما يمتنع عن والنبوة والإمامة والمعاد. All ulama from all different schools of Islam have consensus. They have agreed on the necessity of knowing God, necessity of knowing His affirmative qualities, negational quality, what is possible to be done by God, what is impossible to be done by God, and Nubuwa and Imam and Ma'ad have ijma on the necessity of knowing this bid dalil. Now go page 14. بالدليل لا بالتقليد. You must know existence of God, His qualities, His actions, بالدليل, not بالتقليد. If someone says, I know that God exists, this is Islam. You know, in some traditions, some religious traditions, even they say you don't need to be sure. In theological instructions, I think I told you, some people say in Iman, in faith, you don't need to be sure. Actually, they say it's better not to be sure. Because you have to be taking risk. They call it jump. You have to be able to go from uncertainty to faith. And then if you are faithful later, you come to know. So they say believe, and then you come to know. This is some religious traditions. In Islam, we say no. You have to be certain. Okay, if you say, maybe God exists, maybe doesn't exist, but I want to believe in Him, it's not enough. You have to be certain. Even to be certain is not enough. You have to have argument for it. You cannot say, I am certain, because everyone in our town is Muslim, for example, is a believer in God. I am brought up as a believer. I don't have any doubt about this. Or I so much trust my father that my father is a believer, I am a believer. This is not enough. You have to have certainty, which is a result of your own study. Okay? This is about principles of religion, the basic tenets of religion. Yes, after you can establish existence of God, you can establish the truth of the Prophet, the truth of the Quran, then you can learn many details from that. In details, you can refer to the experts. In fiqh, you can refer to the experts. But your first encounter with religion has to be through your own study and your own ability to argue for it. It's very beautiful. Yes.
If we cannot taqleed in aqaid.
Yes.
So when we need to
in existence of God, in details you can.
Yes.
For example, about raja'ah, you can do taqleed. You go to experts. But in the existence of God, in the, for example, the fact that Prophet Muhammad is a prophet, in these very fundamental issues, you cannot do taqlid.
How much we can do istifada from the ulama of aqaid, which is not coming into the taqlid section?
After you establish the truth of Quran, then you can refer to ulama for explaining Quran and hadith. But at least you have to prove that Quran is a word of God, is a reliable source.
What if you have the tmainan, Sheikh? You have the tmainan that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Tmainan with reasoning or without? It must be with reasoning. Without reasoning, no. Okay. Now, let's go to the commentary. Page 14. قال بالدليل لا بالتقليد. Okay, in the middle of the page, yes. This, yeah, middle. قال, who said this?
علامة هلي.
علامة هلي. أقوله. فازل مقداد is saying this. Now he is trying to explain the meaning of دليل, the meaning of تقليد, and then he explains why we should have dalil, we cannot do taqlid. Ad-dalil. You have studied mantiq, yes? In mantiq, we have a discussion is about dalala, yes? We say dalil literally means guide, sign. Also, we had this in usul, I told you, for example, signs of traffic, you know, traffic signs say dala'ilul murur. So literally means sign, guide. But when we use it technically in mantra or usul, we normally mean something that you know, then by using that you come to know something else. So you have a question in your mind. To understand the answer, you go back to your previous knowledge, you find something in your mind that can shed light on this. With the help of that knowledge, you clarify this issue. So that previous knowledge that you have is dalil, is something that helps you to understand your question, your problem, your mas'ala. Is it clear? Yes? Very clear. Yeah? Okay. Ad-dalilu lughatan. Lughatan means literally. Huwa al-murshid. Murshid means guide. Yes? Waddal. Guide, or what indicates. This is literally. Wastilahan. Wastilahan, what does it mean? Technically. Huwa ma yalzamu min al-ilm bih al-ilm bi shay'in akhar. This is exactly what you have it in mantiq. Istilahan, technically, dalil means something that from knowing it, you can know something else. So from knowledge about it, another knowledge comes. It implies another thing. Okay? This is dalil. Now let's see what was the idea of Allama Halli. This was just to explain the term dalil. What is the idea of Allama Halli? Allama Halli, rahmatullah alayhi, says, because it is necessary to have knowledge about God and His existence, attributes, and actions, you have to gain this knowledge. This knowledge can be one of the two, you know, types. Again, in mantiq, alhamdulillah, you have learned this. Any knowledge that you have, it's either badihi or nazari. It's either self-evident or speculative. Means something that you have to argue for it. Everything that you know is one of the two. Either it is self-evident, it doesn't need argument, okay? Or it needs argument. It's nadari. Nadari comes from the same nadar. It needs istidlal, it needs thinking about it. Badihi, or another term for badihi, is what? Zaruri. Zaruri. And zaruri here, although zaruri normally means necessary, but here zaruri means badihi. For example, ulama say munkiru zaruriyat ad-din kafiru. Okay, this is what ulama say. What does zaruriyat ad-din mean here?
Badihiyat.
If someone denies something which is self-evident to be from Islam. Okay, like Salat. Is Salat Zaruriyuddin or Nazariyun? It's Zaruri. What does it mean, Zaruri? Everyone knows that Islam requires Salat. Even non-Muslims know this. Even non-Muslims know that Islam requires Salat. So, if someone says, I don't believe in Salat, so it means that he has no faith in Islam. Maybe someone who believes but doesn't say Salat, that's another issue. But if someone says, we don't have Salat in Islam, This is what, you know, ulama have created. So this person has problem with Islam. If someone says, I don't believe in Quran, but I am a Muslim, people say Quran is, you know, zaruriyul Islam. It's self-evident. Is it clear? Why they say it has to be zaruri? Why if someone denies something which is zaruri, he is considered as kafir, but if it is not zaruri, he's not kafir? Because if someone denies something which is not badihi, not zaruri, not self-evident, you have to give him credit of doubt. Maybe he is a believer, but he has not knowledge about this issue. Yeah? So we give him credit of doubt. Because when someone says shahadatain, we have to recognize him as Muslim. So we say, maybe he doesn't know. This person has not studied, or, you know, has not having a proper education, whatever. But if someone denies something which is badihi, what can we do? If someone says, I believe in Islam, but I don't believe in the Quran, then here, no matter how much we want to give him credit of doubt, he himself is telling that I don't believe. Okay? Is it clear? Unfortunately, what we have in takfiri movements is that instead of giving people credit of doubt, they are just looking for a way to say people are kafir. Okay? So, how can you say another mazhab of Islam, which has 14 centuries of history, which has, you know, thousands of scholars, how can you say they are kafir? They have this agreement with you. Okay, either you are right or they are right. Or we say you are right, they are wrong. Okay, this doesn't make someone kafir. Even if you say you are right, this doesn't make the other people kafir. But if someone, the only exception is when someone denies something that all people, even as I said, non-Muslims know that this is part of Islam. That's another issue. And this is very rare. Very, very rare. This would not be applied to millions of people. This would not be applied to mazahir. It's very, very rare and narrowly defined. Of course, these are issues that, inshallah, we should study in fiqh, but because it's an important issue, I wanted to expand. So, we have zaruri and we have nadhari. Okay? Fazil al-Miqdad, rahmatullah alayh, says, وَلَمَّا وَجَبَتِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ. We said ma'rifah is necessary. Yes? Knowledge is necessary, it's obligatory. Okay. How are you going to achieve this? وَجَبَ أَن تَكُونَ بِالنَّظَرِ وَالْإِسْتِدْلَالِ. This knowledge is necessary to be gained with thinking and reasoning. لَأَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ ضَرُورِيَّةِ. Because this knowledge about God, about His qualities, about His actions, is not badihi, is not self-evident. Why it is not self-evident? Because, as you see, there are people who don't accept it. So it's not badihi, it's not self-evident. لَأَنَّ الْمَعْلُومُ ضَرُورَةً. Zarura here, we are not talking about zaruriyat Islam. We are talking about zaruriyat for human beings, badihiyat for human beings. What is known zaruratan, what is known as a self-evident idea, هو الذي لا يختلف فيه العقلاء. The people who are rational don't disagree. بل يحصل العلم به. علم, knowledge is possible to achieve. يحصل, علم is achieved, it comes. بأدنى سبب. With little sabab, with little cause. What is cause for knowledge? من توجه العقل الی. As soon as your thought, your mind pays attention, توجه التفات means pay attention. When your mind thinks about it, confirms it. For example, 2 + 2 = 4 is badihi. Part of something is smaller than the whole thing. This is badihi. Contradictions cannot be both correct. This is badihi. Okay? So, من توجه العقل إلي. As soon as you pay attention to it, it becomes obvious. والإحساس به. One of the badihiyat in mantiq, inshallah you will learn. When you reach sana'at khams in mantiq, you study different things that can be used in, you know, reasoning. One of the badihiyat is mahsusat. What you sense is badihi. For example, now I see you. I don't have any doubt about you. Okay? I hope you don't have doubt about me. But I don't have doubt about you. Okay. Kal hukm bi anna al wahid nisf al ithnain. One is half of two. This hook, this judgment, is badihi. No one says, I don't accept this. Okay? وَأَنَّ النَّارْ حَارَّةٌ. Fire is hot. Harra means hot. How do you know fire is hot? As soon as you think about your experience of fire, you know it's hot. وَالشَّمْسَ مُضِيَةٌ. Shams, sun is مُضِيَةٌ, means shining. It's badihi. There is no one who says sun is not shining. Or وَإِنَّ لَنَا خَوْفًا وَغَوَبًا وَقُوَّةً وَضَعْفًا. These things that you sense, sometimes you sense with your 5 senses, sometimes you sense it with internal sense. Because we have also ihsas ad-dakhili. Sometimes, you know, for example, you sense fear. This is not 5 senses.
Intuition?
Yeah? You sense fear. It's a kind of experience, kind of emotions. And this is ilm huzuri. If you remember, we said you can understand your fear. If you say, I have fear, this is ilm husuli. But when you have fear and you sense it, that is ilm huzuri. Or when you are angry, okay? For example, you look at watch and you see the class is finishing. You get angry. I wanted to continue class. This anger that good students feel, it's self-evident.
Allah.
Have you sensed that? وَقُوَّةً. When you feel empowered, this is what you sense. Or ضَعْفًا. Weak. You feel you are weak. وَغَيْرُ ضَعْرِكَ. Okay. So, these are badihiyat. Is ma'rifa, knowledge about Allah and His qualities and His actions, like these things? No. These things are badihi. No one questions, no one disagrees. But there are people who don't believe in God. So, it is not badihi, it is nazari. Because it is nazari, then you have to study and get involved in reasoning and arguing. Is it clear? والمعرفة ليست كذلك. Knowledge is not like that. What does it mean? كذلك.
Like, so it's like his. You can't.
It's not zaruri. It's not badihi. Like his or like other things.
It's not that.
Okay. لوقوع الاختلاف فيها. Because in ma'rifah of Allah, ikhtilaf happens. Ikhtilaf means disagreement. وَلِعَدَمِ حُسُولِهَا حُسُولِهَا ha refers to ma'rifah. لَعَدَمِ حُسُولِهَا. You know, we are at the same time that we learn kalam, we are doing advanced nahv. So you can be, you know, master in nahv, really. If you go to university and study, you know, Arabic literature, maybe end of bachelor or in master, you bring these classic texts and analyze. So you are at the same time that you are learning kalam, you are learning nahv. And if you don't study, at the same time that you don't learn kalam, you don't learn nah. Inshallah, the first is correct. You are learning both.
Inshallah.
Okay. وَلَعَدَمِ حُسُولِهَا. So, ha refers to?
Ma'rifa.
Ma'rifa does not come. You cannot achieve it. بِمُجَرَّدِ تَوَجُّهِ الْعَقْلِ إِلَيَا. As soon as you pay attention, you cannot know it, because it's not badihi. If it was badihi, just by paying attention, like one is half two, it's badihi. وَلِعَدَمِ كَوْنَهَا حِسِّيَّةٌ. And this is not something that تَوَجُّهُ الْعَقْلِ is enough, and it is not also something that you can sense it. So it's neither like one is half two, nor like feeling fear, for example. Is it clear? فَتَعَيَّنَ الْأَوَّلِ. So we said there are two options. Either it is ضروري or نظري. We rejected the possibility of being ضروري. We said no, it cannot be self-evident. Ma'rifah is not self-evident. Why? Because people disagree. It's not that people, when they think about it, they quickly say yes. So it is speculative. It is nadari. So nadari means it needs argumentation. It is reasoning. فَتَعَيَّنَ الْأَوَّلِ. To be nadari. Why? لِنْحِصَارِ الْعِلْمِ فِي الضَّرُورِيَّ وَالنَّذَرِي. Because we don't have third option. Ilm is either nazari or not nazari, we call it zaruri. You know, there is no third option. In mantiq, we call this at-taqsimu thunai. It's a dual division. There is no third option. Yeah? Is it clear?
Yes.
Okay. فَيَكُونُ النَّذَرُ وَالْإِسْتِدْلَالُ وَاجِبًا. We said ma'rifah is necessary. This ma'rifah is not badihi. So how can then I achieve it? Through nazar, istidlal. So for the sake of reaching ma'rifah, I have to do istidlal. It's muqaddimatul wajib. Muqaddimatul wajib, wajibatun. When ma'rifah is wajib, and we said this ma'rifah needs istidlal, so istidlal becomes
wajib.
Wajib.
What does istidlal mean?
Pardon?
What does istidlal mean?
Reasoning.
Reasoning.
Argumentation. Is it clear?
Yes.
So ma'rifah is wajib. Okay. Is ma'rifah badihi or nazari? We say it's nazari. So if it is nazari, it means that it needs reason. So whatever is a prerequisite for ma'rifah becomes wajib.
So ma'rifah is nazari, what is badihi?
Badihi is ضروري, self-evident. We said
things are clear.
Yeah, something that as soon as you pay attention, you can understand. Or when you sense it, it's self-evident.
Right.
Existence of God is not self-evident.
So ضروريات الدين وبديهي.
ضروريات الدين means those things that in that religion are badihi.
Okay. So
maybe someone doesn't believe in God. Someone doesn't believe in Islam. Okay, so he doesn't believe in God as zaruri.
Yeah.
But everyone knows that inside Islamic framework, Salat is Zaruri. So this is not Zaruri for every human being, this is Zaruri or Din. Is it clear?
Yeah.
You know, even if you study Mantiq Muzaffar, it says that Badihiyat also can be relative. Relative, in this sense. Something that for ordinary people is nadari, maybe for a scholar becomes badihi. Okay? For example, for you, many things are now badihi. Alhamdulillah, after 3 semesters coming to us, this is your first semester. Now many things for you is badihi. But for people who have not been to this, it's nazari. So it's a relative issue also. You can gradually reach the point that some of the things become for you self-evident. Okay? Yes.
So what does it mean here when it says la innaha laysat daruriyata? Istidlal and walamma wajabta al-ma'rifata.
Wajabata.
Ma'rifatuhu.
Ma'rifatuhu.
Wajaba an takuna bin-nadari wal-istidlal innaha laysat daruriyata.
So ma'rifa is necessary.
Yes.
And because it is not self-evident, so it is a speculative. So it means that you need reasoning.
Sheikh, you mentioned that daruri and nadari can be relative.
Yes.
Are there some people, for example, that awliya, who reach a stage where the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes
badihi? Yes. Yes. For some people, existence of Allah becomes badihi. But this is not something we expect from everyone. For Imam Hussein alayhi salam, existence of God is badihi. أَيَّكُونُ لِغَيْرَكَ مِنَ الظُّهُورِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ مَتَى غِبْتَ حَتَّى تَحْتَاجَ إِلَى الظُّهُورِ عَمِيَتْ عَيْنٌ لَا تَرَى كَأَلَيْهَا رَقِيبًا. So for Imam Hussein, existence of Allah is more obvious than existence of the world. But this is for a person in that level. Okay. فَيَكُونُ النَّظَرُ وَالْإِسْتِدْلَالُ وَاجِبًا. So, reasoning is wajib. Okay? Why? لَأَنَّمَا لَا يَتِمُّ الْوَاجِبُ الْمُطْلَقُ إِلَّا بِهِ. If someone explains this sentence for me, then I will be very happy. It's very easy, just we need focus. لَأَنَّمَا لَا يَتِمُّ الْوَاجِبُ الْمُطْلَقُ إِلَّا بِهِ وَكَانَ مَقْدُورًا عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ وَاجِبُ. Someone?
There's no error.
Who is that? Yes. We give chance to someone. You all can know this. Not difficult. It needs focus. ما لا يتم الواجب المطلق إلا به وكان مقدورا عليه فهو واجب. What is واجب المطلق? In usul. This ad wajib matlu, opposite to wajib mashrut. Okay? If something is condition for wajib mashrut, that is not necessary. You don't need to bring condition for wajib mashrut. Like istita'a for hajj is wajib mashrut, and istita'a is the shart. Is it necessary you make yourself mustati?
No.
No. But if you are mustati, hajj is wajib. So, sometimes condition, muqaddamat are like this. If you are not mustati, you cannot go to hajj, but it's not necessary to make yourself mustati. But if it is wajib, mutlaq, it means whether you have this or you don't have this. Okay? For example, now it is the time for salat. Whether you have wuzu or you don't have wuzu, you have to say salat. So you have to make wuzu. Is it clear? So if something is a requirement, a prerequisite without which you cannot do wajib mutlaq, you have to do it. Otherwise, you cannot have wajib. Simple example that they use in books is, if, for example, they tell you, you must go on the roof. Kun ala sath. If you have to go to the roof, then they don't need to tell you, go and find a ladder. You yourself understand that they asked me to go on the roof, and I cannot go on the roof without this, so I must find a ladder. You cannot say, I don't need to look for ladder because I was not told to go and find a ladder. You don't need to be told that. Yes?
The same is wajib al-ain.
That's another thing. We are talking about wajib being in effect. A rational person, you don't need to tell him all the prerequisites. He himself calculates and realizes. Yeah? You know, it is said that once a person had a servant and he heard someone is knocking the door. The door was far from where they were sitting, but he heard that someone is knocking. So he said to his servant, it seems someone is knocking the door. Go and check. He went and came back. He said, yes, someone is knocking the door. He said, go and tell who he is. So he went and came back. He said, I told who you. He said, who he was? He said, I didn't wait, you know. So the next time he said, it was your father. He said, why you didn't open the door? So there are people that they don't use their aql or they are lazy. Everything you have to tell them.
Feed them.
Yes? But a person who is rational, when you say you must do something, he knows that he must bring the prerequisites. Yes? If something is needed for wajib mutlaq, it's a condition for wajib mutlaq, not wajib mashrut, for wajib mutlaq, then you have to bring it. Is it clear? مَا لَا يَتَمُّ الْوَاجِبُ الْمُطْلَقِ إِلَّا بِهِ. There is no alternative. This is the only thing that helps you to bring wajib. وَكَانَ مَقْدُورًا عَلَيْهِ. And you have ability to do it. Sometimes you cannot do it. For example, they tell me to go on the roof. There is no ladder. I cannot fly. I cannot, you know, find any solution. Okay, I'm not able to do. They, Allah says you have to say salat, but there is no water. I want to do tayammum. There is no. So, imagine you are where everywhere is snow. Okay, and is ice. So you cannot do tayammum. You cannot make wuzu. Okay, if you don't have qudra. We said, if you remember in Usul al-Fiqh, we said Qudra is a general condition for taklif. Aql, Bulugh, Qudra, these are general conditions for taklif. But if you have ability, you must do it. For example, you want to go to Hajj, but they don't give you visa. Okay, so then you don't have Qudra, you don't have ability. Is it clear? So, what is necessary to be able to do the wajib mutlaq. Without that, wajib mutlaq cannot be completed. And also, kana maghduran alayhi, has ability to do it. Fahuwa wajibun. This prerequisite becomes wajib. Muqaddamatul wajib, wajibatun. La'annahu. What is the reason? The reason is aql. La'annahu. إِذَا لَمْ يَجِبْ ما يتوقف عليه الواجب المطلق. Because if what is needed for wajib mutlaq, what wajib mutlaq depends on it, what is the condition, the prerequisite for wajib mutlaq, if it is not wajib, is wajib remaining wajib or not?
Remains.
If it remains wajib, so then you are not able to do it. If it doesn't remain wajib, it contradicts what you said. You said it's wajib mutlaq. Okay? So, if this is wajib mutlaq, you have to do it. And you have to bring the prerequisites. Because if you don't bring prerequisites, that wajib cannot be performed. Is it clear? لَأَنَّهُ إِذَا لَمْ يَجِبْ مَا يَتَبَقَّفُ عَلَيْهِ الْوَاجِبُ الْمُطْلَقُ. Because if what is needed, what is prerequisite for wajib mutlaq, if it is not compulsory, then either that wajib remains wajib or not. If you say it remains wajib, this is implying taklifu ma la yutaq. It means that I am asked to do something without being able to do it. I am told to go on the roof, but I don't want to bring ladder. If it is going on the roof is necessary without ladder, so this is something that I cannot do it. So it means that I have to bring the ladder. Taklifu ma la yutaq is impossible, muhal, as we will say later. وَمِنَ الثَّانِي. And if you say no, because now you don't have ladder, you didn't bring ladder, so you don't have ladder, so you are not able to go on the roof, so then going on the roof is not wajib. See, you said this is wajib mutlaq. If it is wajib mutlaq, no matter whether I have ladder or not, whether I can find ladder or not, it is wajib. So I have to make sure that I, yes, if I am totally unable to do, that's another issue, but at least you have to look for it. You have to try. As I said, you have to apply for visa. If they don't give it, then it's fine. You are not mas'ul, you are not responsible. But you cannot say, for example, now we have 2 months to Hajj. It's not the season of Hajj. Hajj is not obligatory, so I don't apply for visa. And when the time of Hajj comes, then there is too late. It's too late to get. This is not working. When you have to go for Hajj, you have to prepare yourself for it. You have to bring all the muqaddamat, all the prerequisites, if that is wajib, you know, actual wajib.
Shaykh, can you just explain the situation with the snow and salah?
Faqid al-tahurain. If someone is faqid al-tahurain, then cannot do salah. Then can do a salah. Of course, you can check, you know, Rasala of Mirmarja, but normally in fiqh, they call these people faqid al-tahurain, means that he has neither ability to do wuzu nor tayammum, so he is unable to do salat. وَمِنَ الثَّانِي يَلْزَمُ خُرُوجُ الْوَاجِبِ الْمُطْلَقِ أَنْ كَوْنِهِ وَاجِبًا مُطْلَقًا وَهُوَ مُحَالٌ. This is also impossible because it is against our own assumption. We are contradicting ourselves. Okay. So, nazar is necessary. What is nazar? We have already mentioned, but once again, what is nazar? Reasoning. You have something that you don't know, but there are also some information and ideas, knowledge that you have. Nadar means, in mantiq you studied this, inshallah.
Yes.
You, in your mind, have a question, a problem, a mas'ala. Your mind, after seeing this mas'ala and finding that this is not badihi, goes back to its archive, to its information center, and looks for something relevant to this, something that can shed light on this, brings relevant things and forms a kind of istidlal, a kind of argument, a kind of can be deduction, for example. And then using what you know helps you to understand what you wanted to know. Okay? So you have a matlub, something that you want to know, and you have some ma'lumat, some information. Using those things that you know, you try to understand the situation of what you want to know. Is it clear? An-nazar huwa tartibu umuran ma'luma. I hope you are not tired. Just be 10-15 minutes. Pardon? Okay. I will read from the beginning. Wan-nazar. I will start from here. Wan-nazar. Did you find page 15? The fourth paragraph.
That's right, yes.
Wan-nazar. Did you find it?
Yes.
Okay. Wan-nazar. What is nazar?
Speculative.
وترتيب أمور معلومة. Very beautiful. ترتيب, arrange. ترتيب. You arrange أمور معلومة. The things which are known. The things which are known. Why you arrange the things? Why you, you know, go to your archive, your information center, bring those things that you know? لتعدي إلى أمر آخر. تعدي. This تعدي with حمزة is different from تعدي. تعدي with عين means to be aggressive. Okay. But this تعدي with حمزة means to reach, to get to another thing. لتعدي إلى أمر آخر, to get to another thing. Okay. Adda, yu'addi is baba taf'il, and ta'addi is baba tafa'ul for this. So, it's very simple. Some ideas you have, you make them like major premise, minor premise, put them together to reach a third thing that you didn't know. But how did you find those things? So first, you had that question. But you didn't know the situation. What is the judgment about it? So, when you are faced with this, for example, you want to know whether God exists or not. It's a question. You go to your mind trying to find some things that you can put together and make an argument to show whether God exists or not. Yeah, it's something that everyone is doing every day, thousands of times. But when you want to explain it technically, it's difficult. Otherwise, this is what you do every day. Is it clear?
Yes.
ترتيب أمور معلومة. You arrange, you put together things that are known to reach something else. أمر آخر. Another thing, another issue. وبيان ذلك. Now let's explain it further.
Explain it further.
Maybe you say, no, I'm already clear. But no problem, we explain it further. أَنَّ النَّفْسِ يَتَصَوَّرُ الْمَطْلُوبُ أَوَّلًا. You know, if you have studied logic, this is for you like a piece of cake. If you have studied logic, it's very simple. أَنَّ النَّفْسِ يَتَصَوَّرُ الْمَطْلُوبُ أَوَّلًا. Nafs first conceives matlub. Matlub, what is matlub? Means what you want to know. The problem that you want to solve. Or you want to know about it. Thumma, then your mind, so your mind first conceives. For example, exist, God exists. I want to know this. I want to make a judgment whether God exists or not. So I conceive this. Thumma يحصل المقدمات الصالحة. Then your mind brings and puts together some مقدمات, some premise. You know premise? صغرى كبرى. minor premise, major premise. Nafs, your mind, brings these premises together. But which premises? Something which is relevant. Yeah? So for example, if I want to know whether God exists or not, I should find something that helps me about this issue, not, you know, another thing. ثم يحصل المقدمات الصالحة, those which are qualified, those are suitable, للاستدلال عليه, to argue for what is matlub about that problem. ثم يرتبها ترتيبا يؤدي إلى العلم به. Then puts them together in the way, in the arrangement that can lead to knowing this. Is it clear? Okay. Now we go back to the issue of taqlid. وَلَا يَجُوزُ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالتَّقْلِيدِ. It is not. Pardon? It's not possible. Do you know what is it? لا يجوز لا يجوز معرفة الله تعالى بالتقليد. It's not possible. It's not permissible. It's not allowed to know God by تقليد. تقليد means imitation. It means, you know, if you want to understand تقليد exactly, تقليد means to put responsibility on someone else. Okay? Taqlid is this. In aqaid, you cannot give this responsibility to someone else and say, on my behalf you do this. On my behalf, you know, go and find whether God exists or not. In fiqh, Allah has given us this facility. Taqlid is a facility. Yeah? It makes life easier. In fiqh, you can give the responsibility to a marja. But for the existence of God, you cannot give responsibility to another person. Okay? لَا يَجُوزُ مَعْرِفَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالتَّقْلِيدِ. What is taqlid? التَّقْلِيدُ هُوَ قَبُولُ قَوْلِ الْغَيْرِ مِنْ غَيْرِ دَلِيلِ. You accept what someone else says without asking for reason. Because if you ask for reason, for example, I say, tell me why you believe in existence of God, and he gives me the reason, and then I find the reason convincing, then this is not taqlid. It's just teaching me. He has taught me. This is like what we do. We teach aqaid. But if someone for himself has a reason, but I say, I don't want to know the reason for existence. I just, you know, listen to you. This is not acceptable in the principles. It's not acceptable. Yes?
Sheikh, what does the footnote mean about Imam Khomeini?
Footnote is from the person who was teaching this book, and then he has made some of his own, you know, footnotes. That's not part of Baba Adyash.
My question is regarding what Imam Khomeini has said.
He says that according to Imam Khomeini, if you are certain, even if you don't have reason, but if you are certain, still you can be considered as a believer, if you are, you have yaqeen. But even Imam Khomeini in his Risala says you have to have istidlal. So I don't know how accurate he's, what he's quoting, but we don't want to go on to
this. Istidlal can be different according to people's mentality. For awam is different and for ulama is different.
Every person, this is a good question, every person has to have enough of reasoning that can convince him or her. So a lay person doesn't need to become mullah sadra. Doesn't need to know all the different arguments for the existence of God and, you know, the questions about it. But at least you have to be able to convince yourself, so that if someone wants to bring doubt to you, you can defend. If someone does taqlid, then there is a great chance that he can be easily challenged and he would lose his iman. We want people to be able to back up. You know, in the Aqaid, I told you the story of that old lady that Rasulullah asked him, how do you believe in God? You know, how did you come to know about? And, you know, she was using this machine for making thread. And said, you know, when I move my hand, this moves. When I stop, it doesn't move. And Rasulullah said, alaykum bidin al-ajais. You know, so, although it's a simple argument, but it's a good argument, for that lady and for many people, that's enough. But if you want to be a more advanced person, then you have to develop it further. Okay. Because we have only a little time, so I want to pass this. What taqlid huwa qabul qawl al-ghayr min ghayr dalil. Because if there is dalil and you accept according to dalil, then it's a siddaq, it's teaching. But taqlid means I don't, you know, bother about dalil, I just accept what you say. وَإِنَّمَا قُلْنَا ذَلِكَ. The reason why we said taqlid is not acceptable is one of the two. إِنَّمَا قُلْنَا ذَلِكَ. ذَلِكَ means what? Means the fact that taqlid is not permissible in aqa'id. First, I have a person that I want to do taqlid of him in aqa'id. Is he the same as me in knowledge, or he is more knowledgeable? إِذَا تَصَابَ النَّاسِ بِالْعِلْمِ. If they are equal in knowledge, وَاخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْمُعْتَقَدَاتِ. But they disagree about مُعْتَقَدَاتِ, about their beliefs. So we have person A and person B. Their knowledge is equal, but one of them says something, for example, one of them says God exists. Another person says God doesn't exist. If mukallaf wants to follow all of them and do taqlid of all of them who are musavi and have different opinions, it's impossible. Because one of them says God doesn't exist, one says God exists. You are doing taqlid of each one. Okay? فَإِمَّا أَنْ يَعْتَقِدَ الْمُكَلَّفِ جَمِيعَ مَا يَعْتَقِدُونَهُ. If you say, okay, I accept everything they tell me. Baba, they conflict each other. You cannot accept everything they say. Is it clear? This says God exists, this says God doesn't exist. How can you follow all of them? It's not possible. فَإِمَّا أَنْ يَعْتَقِدَ الْمُكَلَّفِ جَمِيعَ مَا يَعْتَقِدُونَهُ. If he believes in all the things, everything that they believe. فَيَلْزَمُ اجْتِمَاعُ الْمُتَنَافِيَاتِ. The wrong implication of this is that the things which are contradictory and conflict each other has to be believed. They have to be believed by him. He has to believe in conflicting ideas. Okay? It's not possible. أَوَلْ بَعْزْ دُونَ بَعْزْ. If you say no, he chooses some of them, then on what basis he chooses? If there is a reason for choosing one of them, okay, so this is not taqlid. He has a reason to choose this idea, not that idea. So he has a reason, it's not taqlid. But if he has no reason, this is tarjih bila murajjah, to give preference to someone's idea without having any way to prefer. Is tarjih bila murajjah. For example, I say that there are two people and they have the different ideas. I believe in the one who is standing right to me. It's not rational. Okay. Okay. So, فَإِمَّا أَنْ يَعْتَقِدَ الْمُكَلَّفِ جَمِيعَ مَا يَعْتَقِدُونَهُ. If he believes in everything they believe, فَيَلْزَمْ اجْتِمَاعُ الْمُتَنَافِيَاتِ. Then it implies to put together all the conflicting and contradictory ideas. أَبَدْ بَعْثْ. Oh, he accepts some of them and not others. If there is a مُرَجِّه, if there is something that gives more weight to one opinion, okay, this is good. So that murajjah is dalil. there is evidence that gives more weight to one side. It's good, but this is not taqlid. But if there is no murajjih, then this is tarjih bila murajjih. You prefer one idea to over the other without having any reason. And this is not possible. Okay, this is the first argument. The second argument for not doing taqlid is very simple. This is not difficult. أَنَّهُ تَعَالَى ذَمَّ التَّقْلِيدِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blamed taqlid. ذَمَّ, we said, means blame. Unfortunately, sometimes some people who want to criticize taqlid in fiqh refer to these verses. But these verses are not about fiqh. Yes? Because in fiqh, you have established many, many things, and you are referring to expert. Taqlid is rational in fiqh. Taqlid is rational in any field which is in need of a speciality, expertise. But about basics of faith, you have to establish by yourself the truth. You cannot follow someone else because this is not rational here. Okay? أَنَّهُ تَعَالَى ذَمَّ التَّقْلِيدِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blamed taqlid. For example, قَالُوا إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّهِ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُهْتَدُونَ They said that we have found our fathers on Ummah. Ummah here doesn't mean nation. Ummah here means religion. You know, one of the arguments that some people used to bring against prophets was, we are happy with our way of life that we have inherited from our ancestors. Yeah? Our fathers were doing this, used to do this, and we want to do like our fathers. And now, وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ We found our fathers on this tradition, on this, you know, way of life, this religion. وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُهْتَدُونَ And we are guided on their, you know, آثار, means following their, you know, kind of customs and ideas. Basically, it means that we want to follow blindly our ancestors. Allah doesn't accept this. وَحَثَّ عَلَى النَّظَرِ وَالْإِسْتِدْلَالِ Not only Allah has blamed those people who said this, He also has حَثَّ.
What is حَثَّ?
حَثَّ means encouraged and urged. Allah has urged النَّظَرِ وَالْإِسْتِدْلَالِ to think, to study. بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى اَعْتُونِ which is اِتُونِ, yeah? اَعْتُونِ becomes اِتُونِ بِكِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا أَوْ أَثَارَةٍ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Bring a book before this book or أَثَارَة means remainder, kind of remaining, بَقِيَة remaining or something from knowledge. If you are truthful, either bring me another book before Quran or bring me some knowledge. You cannot say, no, we don't have any interest in the Quran because our fathers were doing this. Our fathers were worshipping idols and we want to follow our fathers. This is not possible. Okay? Okay. Now, there is two lines, but I think maybe you are tired. We leave it inshallah for next week. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.